We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, last night, the candidates for the presidency faced off in the final presidential debate of the campaign on RTE's prime time. Many of the issues raised had already been well aired, but this gave candidates a last chance to make their pitch for your votes. But for one of the candidates, it sounded like the election was already done and dusted.
I look forward to serving as president of this country. It will be an absolute privilege to do that. And I say to the people who are listening and watching that I'll do so with humility and with pride. And I will serve the people of Ireland to the best of my ability.
Not would, will. So there you go. Anyway, Sean DeVoe, our political correspondent, is with me in studio. And on the line, Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, law lecturer at South East Technological University and author of a really important book on constitutional law in Ireland. Good morning, Jennifer. You are there, I presume.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
What did you think?
Well, if this was a constitutional law exam, I think Catherine Connolly won it hands down because she was able to quote the article related to the oath of office. She was the one who constantly went on about separation of powers. And to be fair to her, she was prepared for an exam because she had a copy of the Constitution with her.
It was like a rabbit out of a hat, wasn't it? She picked up the mini book of the Constitution and kind of waved it around.
Yes, and the thing is, it's not even the mini book. That is the Constitution. As I always say to my students, it's a very nice, small little size that if a politician is trying to say you don't have this right or that right, it'll take flight very easily. But I never thought it would be brought into studio by a politician to be then waved around the place. So,
yeah.
Well done for being prepared, Catherine.
And what do you think of Heather then?
So, I think Heather was there was some very interesting question came from Miriam in that she, when she was looking at the European issue, we know where Catherine stands on it, that when she was talking to Heather, she actually posed the question of, well, what do you disagree with? Which I thought was a very good question because we know that Heather is coming from a party where there was a whip system, where if there was a vote, you went to what Fine Gael decided on it. But it was really highlighting that when you're in the office, you are the one making the decision. It's not your party that's making the decision. And it really kind of showed up the difference between having a candidate that's been independent, although Catherine Connolly was previous in the Labour Party as well, but someone who was at a high kind of ministerial office where you've your civil servants around you, you're very well prepared, you're very well coached, as in, what do you think? We don't want to know what they think, we want to know what you've thought. And I thought that was a very good question to kind of put her on the hop as to say, we want to hear what Heather Humphreys thinks, the person, not Heather Humphreys, the minister, the TD, the member of a political party for so long. I thought that was a very good question.
Okay, and I think we have a clip of Heather being asked about Europe.
Well, actually, I feel that Europe should have acted sooner in terms of gas. I absolutely agree with that. But in terms, we are part of a European Union.
But have you ever been critical? Sorry.
I have spoke up. Of course I have spoken up.
When?
But can I just say one thing? It was very important to us that we got the support of the 26 European countries whenever we were faced with Brexit. Brexit was a serious challenge to this country. And we were worried there was going to be a border between us and Northern Ireland. We didn't
know
how to deal with
that. Heather, what have you spoken up on?
I've spoken up on various different things, possibly to do with maybe over-regulation in certain areas that we felt that maybe this was too much. And I have raised my concerns. But as a minister, I have always raised those concerns at cabinet level. And there's many different issues that I have raised that I had concerns about.
Sean, what did you think?
Well, on that particular question, it sort of felt like you had one candidate who had nothing good to say about the European Union and one candidate who had nothing bad to say about the European Union or anything else that she was involved in. Look, overall, I thought it was a pretty poor debate. Now, largely because I suppose there was two types of people listening or watching last night, people who were maybe tuning into this only this week and trying to make up their minds and hearing a lot of these arguments for the first time, and nerds like myself, and I hope Jennifer won't be offended in saying this, but Jennifer, who are waiting for people to quote the Constitution and who have rehearsed all of these arguments many times and heard them back and forward. So look, I don't think Catherine Connolly made any significant slip up. The big missed opportunity for Heather Humphreys was in around her barristerial work, because the question that she wanted the big answer to, have you represented banks in the past, Catherine Connolly answered on this show a week ago and said yes, she had. And the question to actually go at her on was, well, how many times, how many people have you put out of your homes or their homes as a result of your work? Are you not a hypocrite? All of the stuff that actually ministers have been saying over the past few days, but that Heather Humphreys could not land any sort of a blow on Catherine Connolly.
Have a listen to this. This is what you might call the barrister smear.
Catherine is, you know, she's evading the question. It's a very simple question. Catherine, did you represent banks and work on their behalf to repossess Irish homes? That's the question.
Let me see if we can get an answer, because I think you did answer that in a previous debate, but I think you said yes. Is that correct?
I absolutely said yes. I represented credit institutions.
All right. Does that satisfy you, Heather Humphreys?
No, that's fair enough. There's nothing wrong with acting as a barrister and representing people. That's the job of a barrister. That's absolutely... But I wish Catherine had said that much sooner. But she was standing up in Galway City Council and she was castigating those same banks while at the same time she was representing them. And that, to me, is speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
Is this a smear campaign, though, Heather Humphreys? You spent the last 3 days of this campaign talking about it in a major Sunday newspaper, an attack video going around, not talking about your own campaign, talking about Catherine Connolly. Yeah. Is that not quintessentially a smear campaign?
No, it certainly is not a smear campaign. And if you want to know about smear, we've all experienced what's happening on social media. Everybody sees what some of the very, very nasty things that have gone up on social media. I have asked a very straight question. And Catherine, I wish she had answered that 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. She's saying now that she did represent banks. But I'm asking her, if she did represent banks, why did she not make that known whenever she was standing up in Galway City Council? Is the point
and
here.
You've asked that. And I don't know, do you want to clarify that, Catherine? Why didn't you answer it at the beginning of the campaign when you were first asked?
I absolutely answered it and said I couldn't go into details in relation to what clients I represented.
No, nobody was asking you, Catherine, the names of your clients, to be very fair.
If I could, without interruption, please. I'm being accused of doing something that there's absolutely no basis to that. I repeat, I carried out each role I did to the best of my professional ability.
So she still wasn't pursued. I mean, the answer, and we talked about it on the programme already, the question is, no one wants to know that Mrs. O'Brien was evicted and that Catherine Connolly did or didn't represent a bank. What they want to know is, did anybody get evicted on foot of the barristerial work of Catherine Connolly? And if the answer to that is yes, how many?
Exactly.
No names, no pack drill. Just please tell us, did people get thrown out of their houses on the basis of your work? And if so, how many?
Yeah.
We didn't get that answer.
Was this a regular occurrence? Was this the bread and butter of your barristerial work? I think she said in the past that she had moved on to family law. And none of that is breaking the Bar Council code by going
not
into that level of detail. It is kind of fundamental to the principle of a person to say that, well, you know, this is... And it's totally legitimate for her to say, I did this work in part of my career, I took the work as it came. That's fine. But while you were standing up as a TD and trying to be an ambassador for people on housing, and, I was amazed that the article in the Mail yesterday of that family who voted for Catherine Connolly as a councillor and then faced her in court as she tried to repossess their home wasn't raised at all. I thought it was one area of the debate where she really wasn't pursued.
What do you say to that, Jennifer?
Well, at the end of the day, if someone's a criminal law barrister and you defend the law, you stand up for the law, that's what you're doing as a barrister. Just because you get people off, say, a murder charge, doesn't mean you agree with murder. So I actually think this point about her being a barrister and who she worked for is completely overplayed. I honestly think it's actually tuning an awful lot of people out, because people understand that barristers are there to protect the law. Like, there's a very good statement from a previous barrister who actually defended members of the IRA, and he was being given out to by the police going down to the cell, and he said, hang on a second, my job here is to defend the law. We're, we take the person, take the personality out.
Hang on a second. This holier-than-thou attitude to barristers. Look, there are barristers who represent the drug barons, the people who actually cause mayhem in our society. Do they ever ask themselves, where do my fees come from? You know, so
hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuel. Points TC.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Not right. All saints.
It's not a holier-than-thou attitude. It's the reality of the job. And if somebody
so
is a barrister,
that question of where their fees come from, do they ever ask themselves that question?
Well, it will be the banks that will be paying the fees if you are representative. If the
I'm talking
banks,
about drug barons.
Client.
Barristers do that because everyone is deserving of a defence.
They have legal aid. So actually, the, you know, if you're going to go down the road of you're getting the fees from this person, if you're doing the legal aid, you're getting the fees from the state. So I honestly think this barrister point is getting very convoluted, and I honestly think it's actually verging on things that we would not like to see coming into our politics, where you're ending up with the American-style attack ads, and all it does is put people off politics. People know people do jobs.
Sean?
While it might be odd, you know, voting in for a council election, seeing the other person doing their job, councillors have to keep on their job because they get such a low salary, whatever that is, be it a publican, be it a PR consultant, be it a barrister.
Different debate. This is not the issue we're talking about. Sean.
It is just slightly different, Jennifer, because to bring back that murderer point that you're making, I've heard a few people make that. That's fine if you are just a barrister, but if you are a politician getting up saying, vote for me, I'm going to stop murders, and then representing murderers and getting them off, that's a slightly different thing.
No, it's not. Because you are representing your client, and as part of that, you are representing the integrity of the law. So we have so many people who are in law, both in politics, in Ireland and the UK. This was stuff that was thrown against Keir Starmer when he was actually running for office and when he was leader of the Labour Party. People do their jobs. And if we're going to start conflating the barrister with the person they're representing, because in all areas of law and in barrister work, you can be on the bank side one day and you can be on the people who are getting thrown out of their homes the next day.
And that's fine,
but
when Catherine Connolly has made a virtue of being the moral voice of this campaign, and I am, you know, representing everyone, and then says when she goes into her career, she leaves her morals at the door. Like, you know what I mean? That is a bit of hypocrisy.
But it's not virtue, it's doing your job. That's the whole point.
Okay, now let's move on a bit, because there was a lot of stuff on the Syria question. And Sean, there was one moment where it was just, the question was hanging there. Who is this person who's organising all these trips that Catherine went on with Mick Wallace and the other two politicians and whoever else? And he said, this person has organised lots of trips. Who was that person?
Exactly. That was the bit that was never asked. Who was this person? And perhaps they felt they had gotten slightly into the weeds in this, because whenever we got into it, Catherine Connolly kind of went on a little bit of a long answer and said, well, Maureen O'Sullivan was involved. You could nearly do the bingo. Maureen O'Sullivan, Claire Daly, Mick Wallace, etc., etc. And we never really got that answer as to who it was. Now, look, she rehearsed old ground on it, that when you go on some of these trips, and I've been abroad with ministers, and sometimes you can't necessarily control in the environment you go into who you meet. So there is a certain amount of an answer there. But it, like you say, when it comes to who actually organised it, we don't know. Who funded it, we do know, the taxpayer. But she did make a fair point last night that the taxpayer also funds the salary of Heather Humphreys and every other minister.
Now, the question of meeting Trump, and I know in my debate with Heather Humphrey says, like, Trump is Trump kind of thing. I asked her a very open question, what do you think of Trump? And it was kind of a very inadequate answer. There was a very interesting question posed last night on meeting Trump. Which Catherine Connolly would be meeting Trump? Would it be, if you like, the left-wing activist, or would it be the Lascaun Corla? Have a listen to this.
It will be the president that represents the people of Ireland as best I can.
I do understand, yeah. Right? But there will be people at home thinking, on the one hand, some people who will want to vote for you, yes, because you have said the US president has enabled genocide.
Yes.
And people at home be very worried about voting for you because you've said the US president has enabled genocide.
I don't think
they will all be wondering, what will you say to his face on behalf of the Irish people, given how important the US is to the Irish economy. Can you give us a clear answer? What will you say to his face?
I'm giving you a clear answer, but it's a speculative question. And so it will absolutely depend on what's on the agenda for speaking. If it's just a meet and greet, then I will meet and greet. If the discussion is genocide, that's a completely different thing. But I doubt if that would be the discussion,
yeah,
with the president coming here. I doubt if that would be on...
You doubt if Gaza would be on the agenda?
Absolutely would doubt, that, especially with the president, who has a symbolic role in that sense of meeting someone and greeting them.
So, Sean...
Yeah, I think that kind of comes back to the point I was making earlier of you. And again, this will be spun from both camps. So if you are in the Catherine Connolly camp, they will say, well, look, role of president is different. It's apolitical. You have to meet them. That's absolutely fine. She's just saying that, and that's responsible politics. If you're in the Fine Gael camp, you say, well, again, this is another example of Catherine Connolly leaving her ideals at the door. She's made all this noise about Gaza and Palestine, and when she actually gets a chance to meet the man who she says has funded the genocide in Palestine, she's not going to say anything to him, and they're just going to have tea in the Oars.
Jennifer?
Well, I suppose people, you know, are concerned when they see people with, like Catherine Connolly, with certain strong views and on issues meeting heads of state, because we have had more open presidents, say, for example, Mary Robinson, all the way on, that they have always kind of brought their own issues as well in. So I would say that we'll have to see, does she keep to her word on that? But considering we have had Michael Dee, who has been very vocal about different things on international relations and international affairs, which would be slightly off topic from what the government would have liked him to be talking about, that it is a legitimate question to be asking there, though, if she is in the office of president, will she be hammering home as well on her own issues, trying to be that bit more diplomatic? Catherine is bringing in that she was Lascaun Corla, but it's one of those questions that, you know, people are just going to have to either trust her on what she said, or we could be in a situation like Michael Dee. But then Michael Dee hasn't exactly started any World War III with having his own views in the Oris either.
You wonder what would happen if he did get an opportunity to meet Trump before the end of his term, which he won't do, but would he actually have a go at him?
Now that he's got nothing to lose, yeah, you can say what you like.
Yes, well, and that is always the question. And none of us, even though Sean did say we're nerds, and I would agree I am one of the nerds, I certainly don't have a crystal ball.
Now, how are you on the Cúpla Focal, Jennifer?
Probably gone in Cúpla Focal agam. I went to Irish college 3 years in a row, but obviously once you go from law from the very start all the way up to a PhD, your law knowledge is going to start getting pushed in the back of your head. Your Irish knowledge will.
Now, last night we had a question to Heather Humphreys in English about her lack of Irish, and she had a go and said it was basically lack of practice, etc., and lack of confidence in using the language. She tried to identify with everyone in Ireland who might feel the same. Then we had a question, Oscailge, from Miriam to Catherine Connolly. Now, I know Miriam was learning Irish, improving her Irish when she had ambitions to run for president herself some years ago, because I was working with her at the time. But I just thought that was kind of a little bit unfair.
Yeah, I mean, a little unfair, but also only one of the candidates has the Gaeilge. And I know we've said in that last week's poll didn't show that it was the number one issue for a lot of people. It did let Catherine Connolly kind of show off a bit. But at the same time, she gave a fair question to Heather Humphreys. She just doesn't have it. So it is one of those areas where if that is important to you, Catherine Connolly holds a very clear advantage, and there's just not much you can do about that.
Jennifer?
Well, I had this discussion with my students when it first came up, and we actually said that considering such a small amount of the population would be Gaeilge Leafa, that are we going to preclude the office of president to only Irish speakers, which would get rid of nearly 80% of the population? So it is the official language of Ireland. You do need to be able to get away with saying a few words, even if it's just foilta rota gachtina. You know, you have to be able to understand that it is very important to the people who are living in the Gaeltacht. So, I mean, Miriam did the right thing there. If anyone has any pretensions of running for president, you need to have a bit of it. But as for the ability of having a debate as Gaeilge with all candidates, I honestly think that we've gone past that, unfortunately. It'd be great if we were back there. But at the everyday use of language for Irish is not there where it should be at all to have this as such a major issue. I know it's important to people in the Gaeltacht. I know there's a lot of people who can't get their services through Gaeilge. I know there's people who can't even book, you know, on the national airline with a FOD in their name. We need to sort all that stuff out. But as for having a president who has to be fluent as a prerequisite, I don't think we're going to be there for a very, very long time, if ever.
Now, lastly, I suppose that final question, regrets. I have a few, but then too few to mention. It was almost that. What did you think of the two replies, Sean?
I thought Heather Humphrey was going to cry at one point. She looked very emotional when she was talking about it, and the same when she was talking about the...
Just to remind people what she
said. She basically said that her big regret was that during COVID restrictions, perhaps some of those restrictions were too harsh, particularly around people being able to see dying relatives, be that in nursing homes or elsewhere, and that because people had to watch, in some cases, their family members die through a window or spend their last moments and they weren't able to have the quiet word in the ear, that was what she was regretting. And then Catherine Connolly kind of hopped on that as well and basically said, well, I regret what you did as well, but it said that she regretted supporting the government at the start of the COVID restrictions and that she only did it once and voted with the government. As far as I remember,
her life was perfection.
Well, there you go. Maybe just, you know, one of the few questions that caught her on the hop. But as far as I remember, she was in the, if not zero COVID, certainly around that band at the time. So it was particularly interesting. Probably one of the few areas where Heather Humphreys had a very good answer, because when it came to the likes of Lucy O'Farrell, she said sorry 10 times in a 4-minute spell.
But she didn't say sorry if. She stopped herself saying sorry if.
Finally stopped herself saying sorry if. She was very poor as well on the fox hunting. I mean, you know, rural pursuits, if I hear that phrase one more time, I think I'm going to scream. So look, that was probably the one question you couldn't see coming that she actually had a decent and very open answer to.
Authentic answer. What did you think of the final exchanges then, Jennifer?
Well, to me, it was like that annoying question in an interview, what's your greatest weakness? And I mean, Sean is completely right. The other candidate in the group interview then hops on and says, oh, well, they're efficient. Well, I'm even more efficient. But I thought it was a very good question for Heather Humphreys, because it was a different question to what was asked before. And I think you got to see more of Heather, the person, because a lot of the stuff would be stuff you could learn off lines. I mean, there was building bridges, safe spaces, all those kind of cliched words now that were definitely somewhere in an essay, you know, the Irish essay that everyone was told to learn off for their leaving cert and not even do a sentence. But with Heather, you could actually see Heather, the person. And as Sean said, you could see her getting emotional about it. And it's almost a pity that whoever was handling her for the campaign didn't actually leave her to be herself more often. And I think people would have resonated a lot more than, you know, I was a minister, I was this, I was that. It's a pity Heather wasn't like that more during all the other debates than just in the last few minutes of the RT one, because I think that is a strength of hers, that she is able to emote like that with people.
Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh.
Yeah. I think it was hopping on. It would have been better if she could have just quickly thought of something that was different to it, because it was slightly a bit of a dig and also I'm actually feeling the same on this one, because this sounds like a good one that I didn't think of 5 seconds ago. So that's where I would have felt on that question.
Jennifer, thank you very much. Finally, I'll ask you, Sean, did it move the dial, do you think, one way or the other?
No, I think it solidified that Catherine Connolly is going to win this election, and I think Heather Humphreys had one final chance to play. And the bit that got me that thought she's not going to win it is that the very first question was the softball: why would you be a good president? And after 6 weeks of campaigning, she didn't have a convincing answer.
All right, we'll leave it there. Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, law lecturer at Southeast Technological University. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.